I want to ask you to bear with me as I carry you back for some little while, some little ways back. In our Sunday school lesson, we studied a passage of Scripture that since then somehow got on my mind and just stayed there and stayed there, and I kept thinking about it, and I thought, well, what difference does it make? We've preached it all, that is all I know about it, and we've studied it all, and we go over it and over it and over it again. And so what if we did study through this some months ago? Maybe I could give you something to think about today in the simple outline of this scripture that we didn't get or were not able to get then. This scripture is found in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, or rather the fourth chapter. The last chapter, as far as we know, we have told you before numerous times, that Paul, the great apostle Paul, who was a writer, humanly speaking, of many of the New Testament epistles, ever wrote. And these words, though they be familiar words, and words that you can think about, I mean, that you have thought about and can quote and have maybe quoted many times under many conditions, yet perhaps can be a blessing to you in a special way again today. Beginning with verse 5, listen to what Paul said. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now these words, very carefully consider these next three statements. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I don't know why these words, we studied them together not so very long ago, some months ago in our studies, I don't know why they continued to dwell upon my mind from day to day, and the thoughts or the approach to this scripture and to these facts stated by the apostle here came to my mind as I should give them to you this morning. There are possibly five things I want to give you about this scripture this morning, and they stand out. These five things stand out very clearly in the scriptures I have read to you. I like to think of this, and I shall give to you such a subject as this, the end of the war, or the end of a great soldier's warfare. Let's take it like that. The end of a great soldier's warfare, or the end of the war for a great soldier. It doesn't make any difference particularly how we state it. But the fact remains that here is a great soldier of the cross, and he has come in these scriptures to the end of the war, as far as he's concerned. Now, there have been many wars, and some of you have been therein, served therein, and many, many others of our loved ones have. Some have served and died in those wars. Some have served and returned to live again or to live on after those wars were finished. But here is a soldier of the cross, one of the greatest soldiers of the cross who ever lived and who ever carried the banner of the cross to a lost world, and he has come to the end of the war as far as he's concerned. He fell, if we may put it like that, he fell on the front lines in battle. All right. He said, I am now ready, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And now the crown is laid up for me, the crown of righteousness. I want to give you these five things in a very simple and, if I may, brief manner. As I told one of the brethren out there, when he said, I might cut down to 30 minutes this morning, I said, well, I'm using a 30-minute cassette, and if I don't, why, part of it will not be recorded. And so I shall try to do that. I want to suggest to you the first thing I see in this scripture of special note and worthy of consideration is the fearlessness of the soldier. The fearlessness of the soldier. And you remember the outline. It'll be simple, easy to remember. And maybe you'll think of these things later on. The fearlessness of the soldier. I have found in other places that a man cannot be a coward and be a good servant of God. A Christian cannot serve the Lord with any degree of success and be afraid all the time. A lot of people never reach their potential in life because they are beset by constant fears. And a good soldier is a man who will go into battle and will take his place in the battle and will advance with his fellow soldiers into the face of enemy fire, even though there is fear in his heart. And yet the greatest of soldiers and the men perhaps who are the most effective are those who can face the warfare and who can face the enemy on the field of battle and not be afraid. And such a man was the Apostle Paul. And I hear or see the fearlessness of the Apostle Paul as he states it in these words. I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. He didn't say, I tremble at the thought. He didn't say, I draw back with fear at the thought of dying. He didn't say, I dread the dawning of tomorrow or that day that is already set when I shall be called in to have my head lopped off by the headsman's axe as a martyr. No, there is no thought, there is no suggestion of fear in the life and in the ministry of the Apostle Paul from the day that he met Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, as recorded in the 9th chapter of Acts, and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? One thing you'll have to say about the Apostle Paul as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ is he was a brave soldier. He was no coward. He was not afraid. Oh, I read of men of God down through the ages, more or less like that, in the Old Testament time. We might name others that would compare favorably with Paul in their fearlessness in battle and all of that. Some as to actual battle with arms, and others in the great warfare of the believer in this world. But I don't know where I find any other character in the New Testament in this Christian era and age who, with the gospel of the Son of God, went out to the world to carry that message that went with as much boldness and fearlessness as the Apostle Paul. Because we've read the story of his missionary journeys in the book of Acts and many other references in his epistles to troubles that he had here and there and the things he suffered. And we read on one occasion where they stoned him and left him for dead in the city where he had preached the gospel because he had stood up as a soldier of the cross and lifted the banner of the cross of Christ before the people. They stoned him and left him for dead, and he was dragged out of the city as a dead man. Brother, he rose up out there, and you know where he went? He went right back into town, went preaching again. Why? Because he had courage, the thing we need. Because every great person that ever counted much for the glory of God from the dawn of creation human history until this present day has been a man or a woman of courage who was not afraid. Elijah was a man of courage, and we see him as he walked straight up before the face of the old wicked King Ahab to point his finger of accusation in his face and say, because of the sins of the people and your sins, God's not going to send any dew or rain for 3.5 years, or until I say so. He didn't say maybe the time. And it was 3.5 years later that he met Ahab face to face once again, and Ahab had sworn, I'll kill him. He's worthy to die. He's to blame for this. But Elijah met him face to face and stood up to him and sent out a challenge to a backslidden, wayward, wicked, sinful nation that had gone after the ways of Baal, and said, meet me over here and we'll settle this thing once and for all. I'll meet the whole crowd. And as one man of God with courage, he faced all of the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves and the backslidden horde of people. And there we know what took place that day when all the other false prophets had failed in calling down fire from heaven. Elijah had said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And when Elijah stood out there, one man alone, before a nation that hated him, and the prophets that hated him, and the King Ahab, who would like to have killed him, he stood out there, one man alone, and in 63 words of that little prayer, he prayed down the fires of God from heaven, and then went out and bowed his head between his knees out there on the hill and prayed, and God sent a great rain. The drought was broken. What I'm talking about is that the men who have served God the greatest are the men who've had greatest courage. Whether it be a man or a woman or boy or girl, that Christian who counts the most for the Lord in this world is the one who can face the conflicts of life without fear. And having the courage to say, I'm going to stand here if I die. There might be some qualification to that. It's human to be afraid, you know that. We're human beings, and it's human to be afraid. Somebody has said that the greatest courage is the courage of that man who, though he trembles with fear within him, marches on out to battle with his comrades out to face the shell and shot of the enemy on the field of battle. And I remember reading way long years ago when I was a kid, right after World War I, one of the great world war heroes, I don't remember what was Sergeant York or one of those men who's done passed on to eternity, who was bemedaled as a great hero in the war. And his statement was that any man who said that he wasn't afraid when he started into the battle was just a liar or a fool one. Well, now that might be true, humanly speaking, but there is a different story told in the pages of this book of God. Let me speak to you about it. All down through the Scripture, God's word of admonition to His people is fear not, fear not. I could give you place after place in the Old Testament where people have come to crises of life and God has said, fear not, don't be afraid. I could bring you on down to Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, where it speaks of Jesus and says, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death for all their lifetime, subject to bondage. In other words, they lived in bondage all their lives because they were afraid to die. Is that the situation? Is that your situation this morning? Are you afraid of anything this morning? Oh, my friend, I've said it many times. I repeat it. And yet maybe I have not lived by it. Maybe I've failed to live by it because I'm too human. Yet I have said to you oftentimes that that man or woman or boy or girl who walks in the will of God with implicit faith in God has absolutely nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing. And he tells us not to be afraid. I hear old John over there on the Isle of Patmos in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. I hear John hear him tell about as he heard the voice like many waters. He looked and saw the glory of the glorified Christ in all of his glorious appearance. And he fell at his feet as one dead. He couldn't look upon that glorious sight. And then said he came and laid his right hand upon my head. And you know what he said to John? He said, "Fear not, John. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And then he told him why he could give him such a word as that. He said, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death." And so I think that because Paul met Jesus one day on the Damascus Road and had that great glorious experience, and then the call of God to go out and carry the message, and he went. I think Paul went without fear. I don't think Paul was afraid. I don't think he had anything to fear. He knew he was going to die someday. And when we come to read these last words that he ever wrote, he just certainly doesn't sound like he's afraid here, does he? He said, "I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand." And he went on to speak of other things and how God had delivered him in all these things. But no word of fear, but words of encouragement to Timothy to preach the word and go on with the work of God. So the thing I see first in these scriptures this morning as I hasten on is the fearlessness of the apostle. His fearlessness was based upon his faith in God. And I say to you, you need not have fear as a Christian if you'll walk in the will of God, if you'll stay close by the side of the Lord, if you'll stay close to Calvary, as it were, in your daily living. You don't have anything to be afraid of. Because God wants you to be able to say, like Paul, "I'm ready." I ask you this question as I pass on today. Are you ready to be offered up? Are you ready? If the Lord calls for your offering up today, are you ready for it? Or do you draw back in fear and dread and wonder, am I really saved or not? Brother, if I wondered this morning, if I had any doubt this morning in my heart about where I was going when I died, I'll tell you, I'd be a miserable wretch, and I think I'd begin to try to find out something about it. But I don't have any doubt about it. And as far as death is concerned, I'm not afraid of death. So the first thing I call your attention and pass on quickly is, he said, "I'm ready." I did want to call this also to your attention, that the original word used here, ready, means to pour out, to make a libation of oneself by experiencing energy or expending energy and life in gospel service, or it's the act of being sacrificed in the cause of the gospel. Now let me give you the rendering of these statements as rendered in one translation that I have in my books at home, where it's a diaglot, or where the Greek and the English go right along together. It shows what each gives for each particular verse of the Bible. And in reading the rendering as given here alongside the Greek New Testament, it would read like this: "For I am already being poured out, and the time of my dissolution has come near. I have maintained the good contest. I have finished the races. I have guarded the faith." Now that may help us to better understand what he's talking about in these things. But first of all, let me say as we pass on quickly, are you ready this morning? Can you say, "I'm now ready"? There is the fearlessness of the great soldier of the cross, Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. The second thing you'll see in this scripture is the fight. The fight, because my friend, to live a Christian in this life is to fight a warfare. You know that's the truth. You know that every day we live, if we live for God, we have to fight sin and fight the devil and fight the things that would tempt us and draw us away and fight our own evil carnal natures that's in this outer man. So the service of God and the journey of a believer in Christ is a warfare. It's a fight all the time. Time would fail us to speak of it. But if you look over in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 to 4, you would hear Paul speaking to Timothy about this warfare. And he tells him to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to speak of some of the things that characterize a good soldier. So, we have here the fight of the apostle. His was a fight. He speaks of it also as a race. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. I'll not take the time to turn and read it. And Hebrews 12, 1 says, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. And so the Apostle Paul speaks of life as a race, and it is. We're running a race, and we're looking toward the finish line and the end of the race. He said, I reach forth. I don't look back. I reach forth and look ahead and so on. But the thought I want you to get here is the fight that we have. We've got to fight. Oh, there come times when we have to stand up and battle for the right. There are times when we have to stand up in the face of the enemy who hate our God. And we have to stand up for Christ and hold up the banner of the cross that's given us to be displayed. 1 Peter 5, 8 said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's after everything he can get. And God's word says here that he's your adversary. That means your enemy. You've got an enemy that's walking about everywhere you go. He's going to be there in your pathway. And he's going to be there to try to trip you if he can. And try to draw you away from the things of God. And try to cause you to walk in a shameful way of dishonor to the Lord. And so you got to be prepared to fight. That's the reason Paul on one occasion said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand up against the wiles of the devil's womb. So we have here the fearlessness of the Apostle Paul, the great soldier of the cross. He wasn't afraid. And he went all the way until he laid his life on the line and his head dropped off in the basket when the old Roman ruler had his head cut off along with others at the end of his journey. He said, I'm ready for that. He wasn't afraid. He said, I've put up a good fight. He didn't say, I've won every battle I've fought. He didn't say that I haven't been knocked down, beat up, and stoned, and beaten with stripes until I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. But he said, I put up a good fight. I fought. Why did you fight, Paul? I fought for the truth. I fought for the right. I fought for the word of God. Like old Jude, when he said, I found it necessary to write to you that you should contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And that means just about the same, that you'll be willing to stand up and fight for it. I don't mean with fists or with weapons, carnal weapons of warfare. But here was the fight that the Apostle Paul speaks about in these scriptures. And then the third thing is, we hurry on quickly before our time and record runs out. The third thing was the finish. The finish of the fight. The finish of the race. And the word that's used for finish here means to conclude or to complete. When Paul said, I have finished my course, he said, I've completed it. I've concluded it. It's ended. I've come to the end of it. But it means more than simply reaching the end of it. It means, in these words, I have completed it. That what God gave me to do, that the race God gave me to run, that the battle God gave me to fight, I've fought those battles and I've finished this course. And it leads me to say, I believe, my friend, that there is a course for every man and woman and boy and girl who's saved by the grace of God. I believe that your life has a course. Are you going to finish it as God wants it finished and as the Spirit of God dictates that you should do? And so we could go on. There are many things, if time permitted, I'd like to say to you here. But I want to bring you to the fourth thing he says in these words quickly. And that is, we see here the faithfulness. The faithfulness. I have guarded or kept the faith. First, the fearlessness. I'm ready. I'm not afraid. Second, the fight. I've fought a good fight. Third, the finish. I've finished the course. I've completed what God gave me to do. Fourth, the faithfulness. He said, I've guarded the faith. I've been faithful to the Bible. I've been faithful to the truth. I've been faithful to God. Have you? I've been faithful to the church. Have you? Can you say that this morning? I've been faithful to my place as a Christian. I've guarded the faith. The body of revealed truth is the faith. He speaks of here. The teachings, the doctrines of the Bible. I've not compromised. You'll never find where the Apostle Paul ever stood up and made compromise in Scripture or in the doctrines of the Bible with any man. And I say to you this morning, we ought to know what we believe. We ought to know why we believe it. And we ought to be able to stand up on any occasion without fear and without hesitancy and stand for it and guard it and safeguard it. And brother, if you ever get a man in this pulpit who doesn't preach the truth and who is not true to the faith, then it behooves you to see that he no longer stands in this pulpit behind this sacred desk, because we are to keep the faith of the Lord. And then last of all, and with this I'm through, the favor for service or the fullness of reward. Paul said, after he had said all of these other things, that I'm ready and I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course and I've kept the faith, he said, there's a reward waiting me. The crown of righteousness. The Lord has laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all them also that love his appearing. And this is a crown. It's like pinning a medal, if you please, on a man that's been true in battle and has gone beyond the place of duty in his service to his country, and he receives a distinguished medal from his government pinned upon him with pride because he has been a good soldier and has filled his place and has done all of these things. And Paul is saying, there is now awaiting me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, and not to me only. I'm not the only one, but to all them that love his appearing, that look for his appearing, that are ready for his appearing, unto all of them who made ready for the appearing of the coming of the Lord. And in conclusion this morning, may I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? You know, I thought about that old song we sometimes sing, there's a great day coming. Only it's not scripture, because it speaks as though there were only one judgment. Now, are you ready for that day to come? But I can ask you this morning, are you ready for the end of the journey of life? Are you ready this morning to meet Jesus face to face and to look upon the record of your service as a child of God? What can you say to these things as we stand challenged before the Lord in it all? Shall we bow our heads to pray?